I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right.
All right, then. Hello.
Hello, I'm Kerry.
I'm Lara. And this is sexy, unique
podcast.
Tough Sicilian bitches.
But I was just describing to Lara, like, my niece is going to be born in like 4 weeks, and my family lives in Miami now, and I was like trying to figure out a way to get there, and I was thinking about flying, but things are really bad in LA now, and they seem to be bad basically everywhere. I just don't think flying is feasible right now. And then I was thinking about, I even toyed with the idea of taking a train, like having my Carrie Bradshaw moment on the train, which would be.
I love, like, that is not like a safe alternative to flying by any stretch of the imagination. That's like, that would actually take 3 weeks, and then you would just be stuck. You would for sure get COVID on a train.
I would.
Everyone would. You're stuck in a cabin with like a bunch of other people.
100%. And then I was like, maybe I can drive. And my boyfriend was, who can't come because he has work stuff. He was like, I cannot allow you to drive alone. And also I have a Honda Element, which is like, it's a good car, but it's, you know, they don't make them anymore. So it's kind of on its last legs as it is. And Lara was just saying I would have like a Flintstones car by the end of my journey.
That car's transmission is waiting to fall out on a cross country journey from LA to Miami.
I literally like half the time when I'm driving in LA, I just am waiting for the car to just go like the flaps and either like the sides just to fall off. And then like I just am driving like a go-kart by the end of it. Yeah, or I would get like
murdered.
Zodiac on the high, like Sky. I own Sky on the highway.
You just disappear.
Remember that scene?
I actually have to rewatch Zodiac because I watched it in the theaters when
watch
I was like
night.
not super into like slow movies. Like really didn't understand them, and then I was just like, "What the fuck? This is so boring! Like, get me out of here!" And then now I can like really appreciate a slow burn. So I've got to revisit.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I think it's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've got to rewatch it because I know everyone loved it, and I was just like, that one and There Will Be Blood, really, like, I was not in a mental or emotional place to like receive either one.
I won't be seeing There Will Be Blood
again or ever.
I've never seen it. I have no desire to see it.
I love that. I love taking a stand.
I mean, I like his movies. I just don't want to see that.
Fair.
What's wrong with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all. But I was going to say your Honda Element journey reminds me. It takes me back to my Jeep Liberty days of like driving that car when it truly was a rickety shack of a car. Like, I mastered the art of driving a car that could literally fall apart or explode at any time. Like, there was a whole way of, like, you know, pushing the gas and then just letting it kind of glide to a stop instead of, like, touching the brakes too hard. Like, I really got it down to a science.
Oh, Jeeps. I had a Jeep Cherokee in high school. They're literally, like, they're, like, incendiary devices with wheels. They're like ID.
They're great until they're suddenly not great, and then it truly is like you're in a tin can hurtling towards your imminent demise.
And I had like the old kind of like boxy Jeep Cherokee.
Ooh.
And my sister got it, and then she passed it down to me, and it was maroon, which I loved.
And you're totally a boxy Jeep Cherokee guy. I like know I your high school vibe.
I was that, and it's kind of a queer car.
It's queer friendly. It's not anti-queer, I'll tell you that.
No. It's QF, and I felt at any moment I was going to just roll.
The roll danger is real.
But Laura and I want to... Laura told me to watch it, and I was planning to because I loved her other show Chewing Gum, but Michaela Cole's I May Destroy You on HBO is like incredible.
Yeah, it's a real good show. I haven't watched Chewing Gum. I watched the pilot of this because I feel like I had seen the trailer. I definitely had, and then had read what it was about, and then promptly just forgot everything that I had seen and read. And then I was like, mm-hmm. I should check this out. I'm checking this out. What a history. And
I'm checking this out.
Then realized, I was like, oh, I forgot that this show is about like a woman who like is trying to piece together a sexual assault. But it's also kind of like mm-hmm. a comedy. I don't know. I was like, I've never seen that really done before. I'm into it.
Never.
I very much see, it's like, I see like my own journey in lots of ways, like reflected back to me. So I was mm-hmm. loving that. Loving slash terrified slash ultimately just like loving.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's like, I think she's the one, maybe. Like, she's like, you know what I mean? Like, in our, I don't know. Like, I think Fleabag was great. There's no comparing them, though. Like, they're so different. And I know just because they're both, like, British. But this show is just, like, I mean, there's only 3 episodes available so far. But I love it. I binged them all last night.
Yeah, it's great. I'm just mad that I can't, like, watch the entire thing in, like, 2 days. Because I definitely would.
I know.
So it's just going to be a yeah, there's like burn. Every British person, if there are any British listeners, they've probably already watched it because I think it's all been out in the UK.
Yeah. There's some moments that are just like the thing we were talking about last night when I'm not going to spoil it, but when she's outside in the second episode and she sees that other woman and mm-hmm. it's like
unreal. It's unbelievable. Like, wow.
Unbelievable. And the music's amazing.
Yeah. The cinematography is really great. All the characters. It's just like all around. Bravo. HBO does it again. Even though it wasn't an HBO show originally. But
what was it? BBC?
I think so. I think it just like it was on in the UK like before. And then HBO is just kind of the distributor of it, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I can't even just watch it. It's so good if you haven't.
I finished Watchmen after our last conversation. Ugh. We were talking about it. And then I watched all the rest of that. That was fucking incredible.
I think that might be at least of the last like 5 years, my favorite show.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It took me a while to be like, why is this show so fucking weird? Like, I don't get it. And then it all clicks into place, or it starts to click into place like episode 5-ish.
Yeah.
You kind of Regina have to put King up with like some like weirdness and like unclear, just like bizarre stuff for a while.
But it's fun. It's such a, like, you kind of, I mean, at least for me, I enjoyed being in the confusion, which is hard to do, especially in a TV show.
I didn't know what to do. Had you seen the movie before you watched it?
I did.
Okay. So I didn't, I went in like totally blind, and I'm really not like a comic book
right
person. So that was like, there were a few barriers for entry, but then I was like,
yeah,
stuck with it. And I was really glad I did.
Yeah. I think you can go into it without, like, I admittedly have not read the graphic novel, but I think you can go into it, the show, without really anything and end up loving it.
Yeah.
And there's some, like, I know there's some things they didn't include in the movie that they had in the book, which they definitely put in the show, which I was really happy about. The movie was just like, it was like Malin Ackerman, and like, it just
that's like, was my only frame of reference, was like from Matt, like, that I knew Malin Ackerman was in the movie, which was like, could not be further from like what the show felt like.
No. And Regina King is just like, and Jean Smart are the fucking stars of the show, and just, they just are so amazing in it. And I like Malin Ackerman. She was in The Comeback, but like,
I would love her, and but like, I was just like, this is not that. And that's kind of, and that's why I was initially kind of confused. But then I was like, yeah, it just took me a minute to really orient myself.
And Jeremy Irons is so good.
Yeah.
And so hot still.
Mm-hmm. It's really good casting.
Yeah.
Don Johnson.
You were saying,
we both would. Yes. I mean, I literally was texting Carrie. I was like, everyone on the show is hot. Like, I would fuck every single person on the show.
No, it's like, it's unreal. And it's also just so timely with, it's so like kind of evergreen, especially yeah. with what's happening now. And like with the police and the history of the police and like their brutality against Black people. And I mean, it's, you know, it's not a spoiler, but like the first opening scene is the Tulsa massacre, which,
mm-hmm. which I didn't even, you know existed until I watched that and was like,
I didn't either.
Shot like, horrified.
I felt so stupid
because I googled, I was like, is this a real thing? And then was reading all these articles, and it was crazy, especially like growing up in Oklahoma City, and no one ever spoke of that, which is wild to me.
No, they don't teach it. I don't think they teach it in the American school system.
Yeah,
but it's, yeah, it was just, I mean, especially with like Trump, you know, originally trying to do his rally on Juneteenth in Tulsa. Like, it just, it was almost like eerie how on point the show was.
Mm-hmm. It's a good like cultural companion to everything that's going on now, if you haven't watched it.
Yeah. And the music's amazing. Trent Reznor does the music, and
great music.
Damon Lindelof is just the best.
Yeah.
So,
congrats to the entire team of Watchmen.
Congrats to the team.
You guys did it. You kicked ass. You did a kick-ass job. You kicked ass today. I just want you to know that.
Today you did it.
You did it. Today was a great day. You killed it.
Today was a great day. Also, my favorite headline of today was Reese Witherspoon saying she hadn't heard of homosexuality until she moved to LA. And I was like, same.
What year? How old was she when she moved to LA, though? Wasn't she like 11 or something like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I think, wasn't she like a child star?
Yeah. So like, she probably would have moved to LA pretty young. I feel like I didn't know about homosexuality until I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah. I still don't really know what it is.
I'm learning every day what it is.
I'm learning every day.
Yeah. It changes constantly.
It does.
It's ever shifting, and ever changing, evermore.
Evermore. Ever thine. And then yesterday, the iconic Britney Spears video.
That was honestly me.
Britney saying,
to every gay that's been in my life since I learned about homosexuality and crossed over to the other side. That was like, I was like, whoa, I have, like, you have brought, every night I've had with you has been the best night of my life and so much fun. Will you play it? Because we need to hear this message again.
This is from Britney Spears.
To all my friends at the LGBTQ community, happy Pride Month. You guys bring so much heart, passion, and articulate everything you do. Because of you, I've had the best nights of my life. I love you so much, it hurts. Happy Pride Month. Baby, be quiet!
Yeah, me. May I just say, I love that you says, articulate yourselves so...
Thank you.
What is, you articulate everything you do.
Thank what, you so much.
That, what does that mean? You speak...
We just speak... We're just well-spoken.
You articulate everything you do. That means you
I think
talk
she
a lot.
Maybe thought it meant something else.
Yeah. I love her, though. She's like... She really tries.
I love you so much, it hurts.
I love you so much, it hurts. And then her paid boyfriend is like, baby.
Go LGBTQ. And then she goes, baby.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, I love.
Just, he goes, go LGBTQ.
Did you feel bolstered by that chant? I didn't even know that's what he was saying. I thought he was like telling her like a post needs to arrive.
I went, woo. When I saw that video, I just felt... I was like, pride!
Yeah, I felt proud.
This is pride. And then I was imagining, like, the way she said at the LGBT community, like, felt like she imagined all of us, like, on, like, a switchboard in, like a phone operating room, just being like, hello, hello, LGBT community. LGBTQ community.
She's like, sending out a radio message, like, or one of those, like, Morse code messages. A telegram to the LGBTQ community. Stop. I love you guys. Stop. I love you so much.
Thank you for giving me the best nights of my life. That was my... I love that. Like,
because of you, I've had some of the best nights of my life.
We only exist at night.
And only at night.
We're very articulate. And
only at night to give white women the best nights of their lives.
White
to give all the fag hags out there the best nights of their fucking lives.
I love you, like, so you much.
You guys showed me what booty bumps are. I love you so much. It hurts.
You guys taught me how to shove coke up my ass. I love you so fucking much. It hurts.
Go LGBTQ.
It's like Joe Judah. Go LGBTQ.
I want Joe to do an LGBTQ community happy pride video. I think all celebrities should now be forced to do one in the style of Mistress Britney Spears.
Also her, why, like, all her videos are looking up.
Who's filming her?
A drone? I don't, like, is there her kid on a ladder?
It might be one of her kids. I feel like she just, like, has a good relationship with them, and, like, they do social media stuff together. Like, it's a point of bonding for them.
Yeah. I saw a post being circulated from an interview she did in 2013 where she was, like, talking about gay people, and she was like, I mean, they're somewhat like girls, so it's really cool to see how they, like... She was trying to be like how endearing they are to her, and she like said that we're like gay men are like somewhat like girls, so like we're more
I love that for her.
She's trying.
She's trying. She cares. The thing is, Britney cares.
She does care, and she knows that gay people, queer people, like keep her
have
career
stuck by her through thick and thin. Have had totally. Her back from the jump, and will never let her fall.
No, never.
She's
there was a video of her last week.
Oh,
she's just in her like short shorts, barefoot, running.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, Britney is happiest, I truly believe, when she doesn't have to work, which I like deeply relate to. But like, you know that she is feeling free when she can just put on a pair of like insanely short, like khaki shorts or like khaki cargo shorts and just like run barefoot.
Yeah.
She once get like a short khaki shorts and like a crop top and then like a tube top or just like a crop tank top barefoot, just like running through the breeze
with her little mask.
Her little mask, the breeze kind of catching what hair is like hasn't been put into extensions, is kind of like flying out like a little crown around her.
She runs like Betty Boop.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just want her to have like that energy always.
I think Britney's been sheltering in place since like 2011.
Yeah. She's sheltered in place or she's like on a stage. There's no in between.
Yeah. So she's probably was well equipped for this moment in history. She's
been preparing for years. Like when she started painting and stuff, that was like her preparation for lockdown. Like she has so many hobbies, I'm sure.
And I just love when this is my favorite video I'll share with you. Also, you know who is the biggest Britney fan I know?
Who?
Simon.
I love that.
He loves Britney. And like a gent, like he just like adores her. And
in a
when his car
way.
Was
they're
stolen,
both, they're both gentle and kind.
Yeah. And a few years ago when his car was stolen, when they found it, the only thing that was left was, aside from some knives and fake passports that the person who stole it put in the car, was a jacket with patches of all Britney Spears' tours.
Wow.
And Simon now has that jacket and like wears it.
That's gorgeous.
It's like a sign.
That is a
God
sign.
God me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Oh, hold on.
Good morning, America. I'm excited to tell you on Tuesday morning, March 29th, I'll be performing for the first time ever in a special concert in San Francisco's historic Castro District on Good Morning, America. And I promise you, it'll be a morning to remember. See you soon. Would you hold it against me?
That was not her voice.
First time ever in a special concert in San Francisco's historic Castro District on Good Morning, America.
Wait, that's like
the most lifeless announcement.
On December 21st in the Castro District of San Francisco in America. On Good Morning America. She talks like Romy from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. I feel like that's like a dub, like someone had to dub or do like ADR. They had to do like Britney ADR of that video.
You just could tell she did not. It was like the last thing she wanted to do that day was do that promotion. And she just came out and just went, Good morning, America.
Good morning, America.
On in San Francisco.
Important news to share. On March 20th, I will be performing in the Castro District. At San
in the historic Castro District of San Francisco. For the first time ever performing in San Francisco's historic Castro District. It'll surely be a surprise to remember. See you soon. That's my energy.
I love it.
Good morning, America.
In the historic Castro District of San Francisco, California, on Good Morning, America.
In the historic Castro District of San Francisco.
San Francisco.
It'll surely be a morning to remember. See you soon.
Why was she talking in that accent, though?
Her voice, I think she had a cold.
Perplexes me. Yeah, it sounds kind of stopped up, but it also could be an ADR. But then she also has certain singing moments where you're just like, who are you? Like, what is your voice even?
My favorite was she posted a photo for her in the studio and just, it was just, she was at her recording station, was just a pack of Marlboro menthols.
Shredding those vocal cords. Not even...
God bless. Like, she didn't even care. She's like, yep. She's like,
you
in the studio.
Her
just... no, listen, I love Britney. I'm not like, you know, I love her. And I'm not trying to be like condescending. I just love that she seems so honest about like like that promotion, you can tell she was like, fine. Good Morning America. In the historic Kester
district. In the historic Kester district, San Francisco,
Kester district in San Francisco. It'll surely be a morning to remember. See you soon. This is me coming out of every morning when I leave my apartment with my mask on.
Good morning, America. I'm excited to tell you on Tuesday morning, March 29th, I'll be performing for the first time ever in a special concert in San Francisco's historic Castro District.
In San Francisco's historic Castro District.
In San Francisco's historic Castro District.
District. It will be a night to remember.
Also, she had an announcement that she was extending her residency a few shows. And she, there was a live stream. There was a clock ticking. There was like a red carpet. There was press. People were interviewing people in the middle of Vegas. I think they declared it like Britney Spears Day. It was like this huge thing. And everyone was like, is it going to be a new album? Is she going to have an entire new residency? Like everyone, I was like, oh my God, I'll finally get to see Britney. And then literally she came up on a platform after she was like, she came up, walked down a flight of stairs, walked past a bunch of people, didn't say anything, and then walked into a car and drove away. And I was like, that is true power.
That is absolute power. May we all get to a point where someday we have a huge announcement and that's how we handle it.
Not saying a word,
just rising up onto a stage, descending off the stage, and walking into a waiting SUV.
And like maybe wave to like two people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of dreams, let's get into this week's episode of
We're back.
Sicilian Batches.
We're back in Jersey.
We're back in Jersey.
Christmas. And now just like wretched New Jersey winter. Oh, it's actually New Year's. We haven't made it fully out of the holidays. They really milked 12 episodes worth of holiday material on the season of Jers.
That's when you know this season was kind of hurting.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't packing the punch of season two of Danielle Staub's reign of terror over Wayne.
They're in that like that devastating week between Christmas and New Year's where everything is just like a nap, post nap, you're eating leftovers, you're like kind of depressed.
It's full quarantine vibes.
Yeah. That is my least favorite week of the year.
It's a week where your sanity definitely, like, you're hanging on by a thread for sure.
Yeah.
Just like the collective you, as in we.
Speaking of sanity hanging up, did you see the video that Jessica Chastain posted?
No. What did she do?
Really fast. She posted this video yesterday. Ugh, hold on.
She has inexplicable Instagram energy.
She is like very underrated, but Jessica Chastain has a unhinged social media presence. And it's like, it almost is like weirder than January Jones.
I think she's
because January Jones is like funny.
She's funny. She's cheeky. I think Chastain has actually like seen it all and lived like, dark. And she's lived like a dark Hollywood journey before she got famous. And now we're seeing kind of the trauma.
No, I do too. I'm a Chastainiac. I'm a fan.
Hey,
but she
same.
Posted this video yesterday where she just wrote. And the video was, the caption was, we got each other and that's a lot for love.
I love it. It's like a behind the scenes photo shoot video from who knows when. Who knows when that video was made? Who knows who made it? I loved laughing hysterically at the song. Oh my God. Yeah, she's.
Why don't you know this song? Someone's like, I don't fucking know.
They're like, I don't know. That is a kind of what weird though. Why wouldn't you know that song? It's like a European person. It's like,
yeah,
they'd have no idea what this song is or why they would even need to.
I just love it.
I love. It's like she's unhinged. You know who's an amazing Instagram follow that I recently discovered, and maybe the community knows, but I truly, my mind is blown. Linda Thompson, mother to Brody and Brandon Jenner.
Oh.
Her Instagram presence is incredible to me.
Really?
She'll post like inspirational quotes, but she'll post like 10 slides, but they're all like kind of cut off in different places. She's obsessed with like roses. She's obsessed with Brandon Jenner just wrote a song called Say My Name, and all the proceeds of it go to like, I think, Black Lives Matter or some charity. But I was like, this is so completely misguided. Like, it's like the kind of misguided that no one even tries to like cancel it, because everyone's like, you're a fucking idiot, like it's not even worth the time. But like, she's
I'm not kidding, and she's obsessed.
I guess he's like a musician now, really unclear, but Linda,
he has been.
I missed that memo.
1000%. Him and his, I guess, ex-wife.
They're,
is he married to that woman still?
Leah or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Linda.
Because they made music. They were trying to. Chris was trying to like promote them on the show as like, well, a folk duo.
He might be doing his own thing now, and yeah, it is not for me. But I do support Linda Thompson.
I'm gonna follow her.
Her, yes, Instagram stories. Yeah.
No, keep going. Sorry.
No, they're amazing. And she's just like, oh, she's upset. Because I didn't realize that she dated Elvis back in the day. So a huge chunk of her social media presence is reminding us all that she dated Elvis. And she'll post these like throwback photos of them. But it's kind of sad because you can tell, like, there's not a lot of photos of them looking very like loving together. Like, it's kind of just like her in the background, like following him around or like getting on and off a plane. And like, but she really leans hard on that. And it's just like, wow, this woman has lived 1,000 lives. Her Instagram bio is mother, Lala, friend, sister, aunt, poet, New York Times bestselling author, lyricist.
No, she loves Broden and Brandy. Broden, Brandy. Them.
Did not wish Caitlin a happy Father's Day.
But did any of her other children?
I think the Jenner girls like recognize her as being like an active part of their life, because I think she was. But I think that she really was not there for the sons.
And she wasn't.
Yeah.
No, I think they really resent her, and I think they had a lot of resentment towards Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when Caitlin was still Bruce as that parental role, Caitlin was more there for the Kardashian kids.
Yeah.
Tough, but. Brandon Jenner's ex-wife Leah is the daughter of Don Felder, who's like the Eagles guitarist.
Oh.
So they're, I mean, it's just like everyone.
You set foot in Malibu and you're literally in like, it's just like cousins fucking all the time. Like, it's like truly inbred up there. It's rich inbreds. That's the truth. Speaking of other East Coast inbreds.
Well, so Caroline Manzo, we start off right away with her at 101.5 doing the job. Caroline rules. Caroline's radio engineer looks like an incel.
Talking about New Year's resolutions.
Caroline goes, I'm all about new beginnings. I love New Year. I was like, okay.
We get it.
A woman calls in and she's like, my New Year's resolution is to quit smoking. My kids say, Mommy, we don't want you to die. And Caroline goes, and that's the truest thing in the world.
Meredith from Doylestown.
Meredith from Doylestown, she says.
Do you know where Doylestown is? Not. Jersey Knowledge 101. Does he know it? Actually, does he not know it?
It's actually a suburb of Philly in Pennsylvania, up in Bucks County.
Oh, wow. All right.
Somewhat near the border of Trenton and Pennsylvania.
Wow. Jersey Geography 101.
Jersey Geography 101.
For answering that question right, you get one Philly cheesesteak.
And then Caroline proceeds to be like, I'll tell you what. When I was a young mom and my oldest Albie was 3. And I never wore a seatbelt anywhere. I know it was stupid, but I just never wore one. I'm like, okay. Radical. Caroline and her ever-going mission to not... She's like a seatbelt truther. She's like the people who like don't wear masks now. It's Caroline was like, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. It stifles my breathing. God gave us these lungs.
Speaking of seatbelt truthers, my dad has never worn a seatbelt for as long as I've lived. Not once.
Butch.
But Butch is doing things on his own terms. Never. He might have buckled up for a little while. I think he did. And then he unbuckled. It was a really short-lived buckle up. And then now it's just like he's fucking free riding. Seatbeltless.
By the way, I just got an alert on my computer about Sandoval breaking his silence.
On like the Stasi firings. I'm like, who's that? As soon as Vanderpump Rules is gone, I'm like, I literally don't give a shit. I need like a physical break from these cretins. Like, and that comes in the form of like my 6 months of respite from having to like follow a single thing that they do. Except someone did message me a picture of like Bo and Stasi's gender reveal. I was just like, goodbye.
Of course they did one.
I know.
She's
having a daughter. I do have to say that's kind of cute.
Good luck to her.
Good luck to her.
It's also Queen Ariana's birthday. So happy birthday to her.
Oh yeah, happy birthday, Ariana.
One of the one lights on that show. But wow, your dad just a listen.
He's not gonna do it. I mean, white there's not.
They're wild. They are wild.
There's truly
wild.
Not. Sometimes there's just nothing you can do.
Well, Caroline was one of these people, and she goes, "And I never wore a seatbelt. My son was 3 years old, and he had a little lisp, and he said, Mommy, buckle up.
Better safe than sorry.' And then
better safe than sorry.
I wore a seatbelt every day. Okay." Cool
the
story.
And the woman goes, okay, thanks. And she hangs up. Melissa's driving in her car and she hears Caroline talking about mending burnt bridges with family. So it prompts her to call Trey.
Tree, who answers the phone. Tree is pissed again for some, like, no reason. Tree's definitely one of those people that just gets a bee in her bonnet and then will, like, just answer every question in, like, monosyllabic.
Oh.
Just be the like, hey. What?
Hey.
What?
Well, like, well she's mad at Melissa and Joe for leaving her Christmas Eve dinner to go to Kathy's.
Okay. I love that she's like still mad about that.
Oh, she's stewing. Melissa calls her and Tree answers and Tree goes, hello? And Melissa goes, hey. And she goes, who is this? And she goes, it's Melissa. And then Tree goes, oh, what's up, babe? And Melissa's like,
who is this?
I know. Melissa's like, okay, you clearly have my number. And Tree goes, I'm literally eating right now. I think Tree's stoned.
Tree is like living in a hell world of her own making, but like she takes everything out on Melissa.
Oh,
I don't know 100%. How Melissa does it, honestly. Like I came away from this episode being like, Melissa's a fucking saint for putting up with this. This would drive me bonkers.
It's like that movie, Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know how she does it. It's like Melissa on the cover, just balancing like Teresa and like her horrible, not horrible, but the way her abusive in-laws and
like Joe Gorga's like rabbit fucking humping her in the back. And then like baby Joey is like laying on the ground and she's just trying to balance it all. There's like a Rolex, her big Rolex and her Louis Vuitton suitcase.
Yeah. Her music studio.
And then Joe TJ is in the corner just like farting. It's like a visible fart cloud.
She's a witch.
Witch. Melissa's like, in her confessional, she's like, I'm really trying, like, God damn it, if I won't let our kids be, like, with each other. Like, the cousins need to be together. Antonia and Melania, like, are obsessed with each other. So she's calling to arrange a play date between them. And Teresa's like, yeah, maybe. She's like, yeah, I can bring him over on my way to drop Gia off at dance.
But Gia has dance. All right, okay.
Melissa's,
it's just like, she's wants to make literally it as hard as possible to like do something that's very easy and simple.
She's like, literally just bring them over before like an hour, just so they can just play with each other for an hour. Like, it's not that hard. So she's like, yeah, all right, I'll come over at like 3. Well, we all know when Teresa says, when she comes.
If she comes over 3, she's coming over at like 8:30.
Yeah. Plan. You have to plan like at least give Teresa a 4-hour window to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Jacqueline asks her dad to talk some sense into Ashley.
Jacqueline looks, and I think it's because of whatever work she's had done, but she looks nothing like her parents.
She's like really stunning.
Jacqueline?
Yeah. Like she's
striking.
Kind of,
yeah.
Like, yeah, she's striking. She's giving me like a little, she has like Kardashian face, like before the Kardashians had Kardashian face.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I was just like, I
like Jacqueline.
I like her too. I'm like into it now. I mean, I think she antagonizes Ashley intentionally, but who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't at that point? I think she's literally at her wit's end.
Wouldn't
and her dad goes into Ashley's room and she's, first of all, she's a giant crucifix on her wall. And I was like, I would put like 1,000 under her bed to like try to get whatever demon is out of her.
To exercise I would have the demon within.
I was thinking about a world where like, I'm like a gay parent and my daughter is Ashley and I'm like, literally like consulting with a priest to get her exorcised. Be like, hey, I don't really believe in the Catholic Church anymore. I know that you don't really like people like me, but I will believe in you if you get Satan out of my daughter.
I truly don't think it's possible for like a gay couple to end up with a daughter like Ashley. Like, I feel like it's like a nature over versus nurture thing. And like, just the nurturing would be such that she just like wouldn't end up that way. But who knows? It would be a good experiment to see if like your child, like can a gay couple or a single gay parent yield a beret daughter? A beret demon daughter.
Trump is actively trying to get adoption rights taken away from LGBTQ people, so... We'll see. That's even a possible scenario.
Yeah.
Happy Pride. So her dad, who is so cute, and he has his little like button down shirt under a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into Ashley's room, and her room is like a mess. Ashley looks so strung out; it's unbelievable. Her hair is everywhere. She's in bed. She probably has been like sleeping all day, watching something on like her portable DVD player, and
she had to like wake up to film.
Mm-hmm. And she woke up at like 4 p.m. It's dark out already.
Ugh. And she's drawing, sketching Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn.
Ugh. You can't get any like sadder than that.
She's not that bad at drawing.
No, she's actually, it's the thing she's shown like real talent at. The one thing that she's displayed like a natural knack for. God bless
her. She's drawing like peacocks.
Mm-hmm.
She's drawing Marilyn. And Ashley is like, she's like, yeah, I'm going to be an artist, I think. And her grandfather's like, okay, well, what does he say to her?
Basically, he's like, you should go to art school or you're talented. He's like trying, everyone's just like trying to get her the fuck out of this house. So like, they're basically at this point, like, sure, go be an artist. Like, anything is better than like having you around. And then she's like, she's like, maybe I am an artist. I don't know. Like, I don't like deadlines. And I wrote, she is an artist. I said, she's a true artist. Hate deadlines. And then grandpa goes, life is a deadline.
Like, let me tell you something, honey. Life is a deadline.
I wrote, and Ashley's so like, true, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's a literal deadline. Ugh.
I could just feel Ashley's hangover.
Yeah, I just felt her, like, for, I just, like, I feel like I've been there. I've been in Ashley's shoes. Surly.
Yeah.
Like a surly 20, early 20 something. And it's just, like, not
strung out.
Not strung out, but definitely, like, not,
I mean,
my presence.
I was.
My presence was, I don't think, appreciated by certain people in the house.
Yeah. I wrote, her grandfather is such a sweetie.
Yeah, I like him.
Well, you can tell that he, like, had a big hand in raising her.
Mm-hmm. He's like a surrogate father.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched.
if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The work system from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Caroline invites, Caroline goes, I'm going to invite Kathy and Rich for New Year's at the Brownstone. And I was like, why? And she talks again about how they're longtime friends and clients of Albert. And I'm like, why did, what's with this charade of you not pretending not to know Kathy? Like, it's what the unclear. Fuck?
Yeah. Or just like being totally shady towards the Wikileaks in general.
Yeah.
I think it's just Caroline's a bad actor. So like this, she's trying, and they need this to be like a dramatic kind of story point. And it's like the drama, we're not getting any sort of dramatic payoff because it's just like, fine, invite them. Like,
Yeah. She's, it's like, it's a big, every year we have a New Year's party at the Brownstone. It's just a night to get down and have fun. So I don't want Kathy and Rich to miss out.
I got to invite them. Everyone's like,
I got to invite them. Yeah, just fucking do it.
Get over it then. Text them.
Text them!
It's a full moon in Jersey as Lauren Manzo descends on Chateau for her beauty party.
Yeah, Lauren's planning her beauty bar at the Chateau Salon called Mally.
Didn't we already see part of her beauty brand or something?
Well, we saw her at her school where they were doing...
Someone in the background was doing like blackface.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Makeup school. Lauren asked Ashley to design some t-shirts.
Mally.
Beauty bar at the Chateau. Ashley comes in like...
Ashley comes in with like a tumbleweed. Chat. She's full of walkabout energy. She's serving Yule's Yerby walkabout vibes.
She is. And what's her name? Devorah.
She's and, blown.
She walks in, Lauren's kind of like already like sussing her, and she shows, they sit down and they show t-shirts that Lauren's going to pass out at this grand opening party for Mally. I'm going to say it like that, Mally.
It's spelled M-A-L-I.
M-A-L-L-Y.
Oh, gross. No one wants it. No one wants it.
Mally. Mally.
And so...
Mally. Come on down to Mally.
She shows her designs, and they're so bad.
The designs, like, it was just like, oh, you did this in 5 minutes. Like, you just barfed something out, like, thoughtlessly on a piece of paper.
Lauren was not happy.
But Lauren's also loving the opportunity to, like... tell it to Ashley how it is. Like, show her a thing or two about business. I was like, bitch, your fucking parents are, like, paying for this brand for you.
Totally. Totally. Lauren, she sees the first guest and she goes, no. I was like...
Lauren's drunk with power.
She's totally drunk with power. And then Ashley's just like, hi. She's like, these are some shirts and they have makeup brushes. And it's kind of like that. And then Lauren goes, all I see are dirty brushes. I was like, dirty brush? It's a sketch.
She fucking told her. Yeah.
So she's like, this looks like you did it in the car outside. And like, this is not like what I asked for. So she's mad at Ashley. And then
Ashley
says...
just looks flustered. Ashley is just like also over it. I love that Ashley is so entitled, like she can't even just do like some, she can't do a single thing. Like it's that level of entitlement that just blocks you from even doing one thing that's like something you would like to do generally. Yeah.
And then Ashley goes, whatever. She goes, I'm kind of pissed that Lauren's coming down for me. But she goes, when I'm a professional artist, I'm not going to even work with clients. It's going to be my vision, what I think the general public would like.
I'm like, bitch, you're in for a cruel awakening because the general public ain't going to like your art.
That was
enough Marilyn Monroe prints. There's way that was too the greatest... much Marilyn Monroe content.
Let me tell you something.
There's always a market for
As
Marilyn.
We've seen, there's always a market for Marilyn Monroe art. There's a never-ending supply of white people buying Marilyn Monroe stuff.
White girls just like adorning. What was that? I had like, what did I have? Oh, I had like a Breakfast at Tiffany's poster. That's not Marilyn, obviously, but it's like another just like design thing that like...
Audrey thing?
Yeah.
The Audrey picture? Audrey,
yeah, in the kitchen. A little Breakfast at Tiffany like movies poster. I was like, this is quirky and cool. This is art.
I had like a Scarface poster in my freshman dorm. The fuck was I thinking? I'd never even seen it.
Gangster. You'd never seen it? I love.
No. I just thought it looked like straight.
Oh my God. And like I'm cool. Obsessed.
I also had a Che Guevara poster.
Oh my God. You really tried to pull out all of like the masculinity stops.
Right?
But lo and behold.
But then I had Che Guevara, and then I had like a Nightmare Before Christmas poster.
You're Che Guevara in the streets and Nightmare Before Christmas in the sheets.
100. I'm Sally the Ragdoll.
Sally the Ragdoll in the sheets. Che in the streets.
Oh my God.
Sally in the sheets.
My freshman dorm wall was like just a clash of what was happening inside my like out of the closet brain. Fight Club. Godfather. Scarface. And then Nightmare Before Christmas. And like a Ray Bradbury, like
the dead ringer.
Spooky tree.
Yeah. The red flag tells you everything you need to know.
Yep.
God. I bought from Bed Bath and Beyond. They had these like vintage like Vogue covers that they made into like big canvases, and so I got like 4 of those and had those on the wall of my apartment and really thought that it was like the pinnacle of chicness. Any BB&B heads out there, let me know. Please at me on any social media if you know what I'm talking about. These Bed Bath and Beyond Vogue canvases.
The real ones know.
The real heads know. Real Vogue heads know. The merging institutions, Vogue and Bed Bath and Beyond.
Home Goods had all that.
Wall art.
Wall
then
art,
what
baby.
Happens?
And then Teresa is getting the girls ready to go to Melissa's house. And Melissa's like has all her kids in the kitchen, and it's like it says like 4:15. Teresa's already late, and Antonia's like, "Mom, when's Melania coming?" And Antonia looks so cute. She's like, "They're coming. They're gonna be on their way. Don't worry." And then we cut to Teresa's like the Judice home, and it's chaos. Melania looks like she just woke up from a nap. Her hair is all like disheveled, and she's in pajamas.
She looks like she's been living in a tree for days.
Like, did she just wake up?
I don't know, but Melania is like truly my queen trying to get herself dressed. Teresa's like, what are you gonna wear? You better get yourself dressed. And Melania's like, you want me to get dressed? I'll show you how the fuck I get dressed. And she just proceeds to take all her clothes out of the drawers and throw them on the floor.
Yeah, I put them in a pile, Ma. What do you think about
Who do you
that?
Think it's going to clean that up, tree?
Not me.
Not me.
Tree.
I don't have the skills to fold. Looks like you're going to be doing that
I got
tonight.
A beef and beer at 8 p.m.
I got to get
I got
down
a beef and beer
club.
At benefit. 8 p.m. at the New Jersey Country Club. We got to make this at Zia Melissa's fast.
Get dressed. I'll show you get dressed. I'm taking everything out, putting it right on the fucking floor. Then Tree, she always tries to blame Melania for why she's late. Melania takes the brunt of Tree's like lateness blame, which I'm sure she doesn't help because it seems like she really doesn't do anything she's told. But at the same time, it's like if you know that you have a kid that's like going to take all their clothes out of their closet and throw them on the floor when you ask them to get dressed, then you should really just start the get ready process at like an hour before.
Melania's the scapegoat child.
Melania is, because she's so wild that like you can blame anything on Melania and everyone will believe it.
Gia's the golden child. Gabrielle is the lost child. Melania's the scapegoat. And Adriana's just like the baby.
Mm-hmm. Adriana's so cute.
She is.
She's so, so cute. We cut back to Melissa's, and Melissa has a bouncy house, like a miniature bouncy house in her own house, which was the first time I knew that you could have an indoor one.
Oh my God.
Instantly jealous.
Living for it. I was like, you better get over there fast.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on this action. I would kill for an indoor bouncy house.
They pull, the Judices pull out of in their range. They leave the manor, and you just hear Gia go, sit down and put your seatbelt on! To Gabriella.
Tree's daughters are straight up brawling in the range.
Teresa goes, I'm going to send all yous away to different places.
I think one of the kids goes to different places, and then Tree goes, yeah. And I was like, they're probably glad to hear that. They probably want to get away from this house of horrors. Fat Joe laying around on the couch.
And they come back to Melissa's, and they're like, when are they coming? And then Melissa's like, oh, they're on their way, don't worry. And then Antonio just goes, Mom, Melania chokes me so bad.
No, Gino said that, the son.
Oh, Gino says that.
She chokes me so bad. Melania has straight up murder running through her veins.
They finally arrive. Melania's wearing an iconic rainbow fur.
She's faux fur. She's wearing a faux fur. Gia has a fedora on. Like a jaunty fedora.
Gia has a fedora on?
Gia's like wearing like a fedora and a vest, and she like walks in. Gia knows like she's serving a look too. She walks in with the air of confidence. Like, I remember being that age and like getting really ugly clothes at like 5, 7, 9 that I thought were like so hot. And then like changing clothes and like walking into a room looking like a disaster, but feeling like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm. She walks
slinking in like Liza Minnelli in Cabaret.
Hello. Money. Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round.
It makes the world go round.
And then Melissa's like, you guys hungry? And then Tree's like, no, we're going to dinner after dance class. And I was like, ugh. Flaunt it in her face.
3 hours for you to come over. She made like chicken tenders. Gia's starving. P.S. Gia's like, I'm so hungry.
So Gia goes and eats chicken cutlets in a bucket hat. No, she's wearing a bucket hat.
Is it a bucket hat? I think it's a fedora.
I think she's in a bucket hat.
Okay, that's cute. Either way, cute. Either way, the verdict is... She cute.
I just wrote Teresa's deranged.
Teresa's on another level. She's gone Momo in this moment, and like nothing will bring her out of it.
Yeah.
Melania and Antonia playing is so cute to me. They just like embrace each other, and then they're like constantly like holding hands and hugging, and I just like love that energy for them.
Teresa tells Melissa she's doing a new family cookbook, and Melissa goes, oh, okay, do you want some of my recipes? And then Teresa goes, no. She goes, do you have any? And I wrote full Momo.
Crazed Momo. Beyond Momo.
So mean.
So mean.
Why wouldn't you include her?
It was so rude. The whole thing is just like she's uncomfortably rude to Melissa this entire time. Because
Melissa
then,
looks like she's a little bit on the verge of tears at one point.
Yeah, like Tree's a straight up bully. And we find out that she, like, she's just such a hater and an underminer. Like, she has just shitty comment about every little thing Melissa says or does. Like, when she shows her the studio that Joe built for her, and then Tree's like, I didn't know you could sing. I didn't know you're singing. Sing something now. If you can sing, sing.
Yeah, her and Gia, like, kind of gang up on Melissa.
Well, also, that's, like, an easy way for Gia to feel, like, close to her parents. Like, they've clearly, like, shown her that... I think, also, she probably witnesses the only time that her parents get along is when they talk shit about Melissa and Joe.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's, like, she identifies that as, like, a way to bond with them.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
And then also,
so yeah, Melissa and Gia, like, they're like, sing, sing. And Melissa's like, I'm not going to sing right now, guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, also, probably Tree, like, you know how Gia loves Joey Gorga so much. Tree's probably, like, puts ideas in her head that, like, Melissa doesn't want you to hang out with Uncle Joey or something like that. So then she turns Melissa into, like, an enemy with her own kids.
Yeah. I think there's, like, a... Yeah, there's a weird dynamic. Like, you can almost see Gia's, like, a little stilted when she talks to Zia Melissa.
Yeah, it's just, like... And she's at that age, too, where she's, like, picking up on stuff. Like, she'd be able to pick up on stuff like that and kind of assimilate to it. And so, it's just... It's the darkest reminder of Jersey is that you witness the collective, like, childhood trauma of, like, four children over a period of years.
Yeah. And then, so then we cut to the night of the brownstone on New Year's Eve, and Lauren comes, they're all getting ready at the Manzo's house, like Jacqueline, Lauren, Caroline, and Lauren comes in and she goes, Ashley just called me and he wants to invite more friends to the brownstone. And Caroline goes, tell her no, tell her no, no.
Tell her no, absolutely not.
And then Caroline and Lauren start like trolling Ashley in front of Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's just like straightening her hair and she's like, yeah, I know.
Jacqueline loves it. She actually doesn't even care. She's just like, yeah, like this is the worst. She's the worst person.
She's terrible. And then
can we talk about Caroline's look though? She's fucking
fierce. Oh my God.
The best Caroline's she's fierce all season and all of last season.
Yeah, and her sons make fun of her later and I wanted to slap them on the face.
Yeah, she looked fucking sexy, fucking fierce. She needs to go, like, slicked back hair and a smoky eye, and she's not taking shit from anyone tonight. And I was like, this is, like, a power move. She looks sexy.
This is Caroline in New York, in Manhattan. This is her, like, power, like, almost like power lesbian look.
Total power les.
And I was very disappointed when Albie and Chris weren't supportive of their mom.
Well, it's very, I think, also, like... The Italian Madonna whore complex is like very real. Like they can't see their mom as like a sexual being or acknowledge that like part of her femininity.
I think her look was threatening to the men.
So threatened. I, on the other hand, was really, come here, baby. I was like, come here, baby. Mind if I have this dance? I dip her. We do like a tango. We do a Mr. and Mrs. Smith tango on the dance floor.
Your hair would be slick back too.
Mm-hmm. I'm Brad and she's Angelina because I'm taller. Mm-hmm. I could shave my head.
If you she could
be the Angie to my Brad.
I'd like to see that. I would like to see it.
I want to see that. When back at the Judices, Melania turns to Joe and she goes, give me pizza, you old troll.
Yeah, bring me a pizza roll, you old troll.
I was living for that.
What a drag.
Where did she know how to say that or speak to him that way? She was born this way. Melania
she's heard
born
it probably
this way energy.
She's BTW.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa or Melissa's getting her makeup done by George Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
Which I loved.
Was that make, Tree's like, another old makeup
I think
guy
so.
That she stole from her? Another betrayal.
And then they make like some like joke about how George Miguel's in Joe Gorga. And he's like, yeah, haha, he's so hot. And I wrote, this gay is like, God, get me through this family. Get me through this fucking job so I can go snort glue. He's ready to go out clubbing on ketamine. He's like, get me out of this fucking house.
This poor gay is like stuck doing. Well, I'm glad that he like gets out of there before the festivities start, because you know he's not sticking around the brownstone to ring in New Year's Eve.
No, he's going to the city, baby.
I'm shocked that even
like
Greg goes to the brownstone
hot nightclub
on New Year's Eve.
That even who?
That Greg, cousin Greg, goes to the brownstone.
Greg can just bring the party wherever he is.
Yeah.
Caroline, I love Caroline driving with her hair slicked back, driving the range.
She's powerful. I was like, there's a reason she has a huge ass rock on that finger of hers. She's fucking holding it down. What can't she do? A radio
show. This episode might.
A successful radio
show. She can't do
it. She can't do a radio show.
But my appreciation for Caroline like skyrocketed in this episode. The way she was just flooring it on the turnpike or wherever the fuck they were, and just in her hunched over her seat, just driving in her fucking Range Rover with the light on. I was like, she's giving me Dom top energy.
Oh, it was so sexy and like wild that just a simple tweak. Slicked back some hair gel and a smoky eye can change everything.
She was feeling it. I think she was feeling the power of the smoky eye. She was feeling the power of the slicked back hair. She was just like fully embracing it, and I loved it, and I think she empowered the other women.
Yeah, and New Year's Eve really is her night. Like, I wonder who thrives on New Year's Eve, because I personally hate that holiday, but
I go to bed at like 11.
The answer is that Caroline Manzo, this is a holiday made for her. It's a new beginning.
Look, there are some people who are just cut out for New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. I am not one of them. I've never been one of them. I've either been like blackout or like on a bunch of drugs or just like asleep and sober, and it's never been good for me. And Caroline is the opposite. Caroline is like fully thriving. On NYE.
She is her truest self on NYE.
Yeah.
One day.
This is my night.
This is my night. Slick the hair back. Put the smoky eye on.
This is my night. I'm driving tonight.
I love that she drives too. Like, she's just going to drive. She's hot. Like, she doesn't even need to like drink. You know what I mean? Like, she's just like high on herself, as she should be.
I love it.
I love it.
I was high on Caroline.
Same. I got on board. Once that hair went back, ooh, mama. Ooh.
I just wrote, I would have done ketamine at the brownstone.
Oh, it would be a great K-hole place. Because it's kind of dark and brown in there. Like, it's all mahogany wood and cozy.
Yeah.
And then you could just be on the dance floor and just kind of like wobble back and forth. And then there's
Albie comes
like
up to
eggplant parmesan in trays.
Yeah,
somewhere. You know what I mean.
There
like
was
a buffet.
Caroline's like, the brownstone on the New Year's Eve it's an exclusive party. But when you're in here, the drinks are free, the food's free. We just want you to have a good time. I was like, damn, I want to go.
Can we go this year? We have to go.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
2021. How do we get there? I need COVID to be over because it's really fucked up my plan. We were going to take over Jersey this year. Can we just have a second? We were going to like fucking storm Jersey and see all the sites and establish like a literal home away from home in NJ.
A satellite place.
Satellite office.
A satellite office.
A satellite studio.
At the brownstone. Caroline's like, if I got a drink, I'll drink, and I'll just leave the car in the garage, the brownstone. We got a separate garage for the family parking. I'll pick it up tomorrow. I don't care. I'll just drive home. No, Mom, not going to drive.
God.
Albie comes up to Caroline and goes, you look like an old English princess. Shut the fuck up. She looks fantastic.
Nothing like an old English princess. She looks incredible.
She looks like a modern woman.
Yeah.
She looks like a woman in charge of her life.
She looks like Cynthia Nixon in Sex and the City. But when Cynthia would get her look together and like have like really hot Miranda moments.
I wish I could have appeared in that moment and just gone, she looks amazing. Shut up.
Shut up. She looks amazing. And then
get out of here.
You go, you look amazing, Carolyn.
You look amazing, Carolyn.
Carolyn. She should go, thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, sweetie. I go,
yeah. That would just float in if I was like, this would be like 2011, so I would not be sober yet. And I would just like float in on like a ketamine cloud. Caroline, you look amazing.
Don't listen to him, Caroline. You look amazing.
You look so good, Caroline.
You never look better. I want to shout out baby Gino, who is literally, like, I think there's severe stomach flu going around, like, the Giudice and Gorga household, and it's
really there's a virus
passed from Gia to poor little Gino, who's slumped over a beanbag and just left for dead as, like, the world moves around him.
As the year turns, I can't believe it was 2011. As the year goes into 2011, Gino is face down on a beanbag.
Gino's staring his own mortality right in the face.
Melissa is in a full, she's in a fedora. She's in a black vest, a white, like, short sleeve shirt, and a black fedora. She looks like a lady on the town.
That was a wild New Year's Eve, an unexpected twist. But just when you think Melissa looks like Melissa, she'll fucking throw you a curveball.
You know what she looks like? She looks like the toast of the town. That's a toast of the town outfit, if I've ever seen one.
It is toast of the town.
She went, come on in here! Like some Bugsy Malone, like,
I am going to say, she's doing a bitch stole my look. Gia came over to play, and Melissa took a full stock of Gia's outfit and then did her own version of that for New Year's Eve.
She did Gia dirty.
She did Gia dirty and did not give credit where credit's due, and like fully pulled Gia's look and took to the street to the brownstone party.
She looks like a mime.
Mm-hmm. That's an insane outfit. Anytime you're doing like a vest fedora combo and you think that it's like, she's giving me Celine at the Oscars with like the backwards suit.
Yeah, but that was chic.
That was chic, but it was also like, whoa.
Can you describe to the listeners what I'm doing?
Carrie's doing like a cabaret, like you pull your fedora down. Ooh. You go, ooh.
This is my silhouette look.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm just a silhouette. That's Melissa.
Tonight. Yeah.
Joe Gorgas looks hot as hell. He's behind the bar. He's helping out the bartenders. And Joe Giudice, blackout drunk, is being so mean to him.
Joe Giudice punk came ass to the brownstone to verbally abuse everyone there one by one.
He's so drunk. Teresa looks great, I will say.
Yeah. Tree looks great. Stress does a body good.
Back
for her.
Stress.
She's like fully just embraced, like, I'm sure she's so stressed out, like she just like can't do anything but just like have nervous energy, so it seems like she's a lot of weight, and so she's leaning into it and being like embracing her stress body, and like God bless her.
He goes to Joe, punk ass, you gonna make me a drink, punk ass? And Joe just kind of smiles it off, and then Joe Giudice and his friend cheers each other and like laugh at Joe Gorga, and I was like, he's being helpful. Look for the helpers.
Yeah.
And I wrote, Joe is such a catty bitch.
Yeah, he sucks.
And then Rich comes over, Rich Wakili, And Choji just goes, hey, what's up, cocksucker?
You fucking cocksucker. It's like, Joe, you're going to get fucking shanked at this brownstone party. He knows, too, that he can just say whatever to everyone because, like, no one's going to start drama with him here. But I'm just like, damn, like, you have no friends.
Yeah, he's so mean. And then him and Rich, like, have this, like, aggressive, like, they despise each other, but they're, like, hugging and kissing each other. And it's, like, really weird and toxic manhood thing.
It's really weird. Oh my God, wait. Also in the car, when I felt bad for Lauren and Caroline when they were in the car and Lauren's like talking about like her outfit and stuff. And then it cuts to Caroline's talking head and she goes, my daughter is a manzo. Manzos are thick. My father-in-law was 400 pounds. And I was just like, God.
I know. They're very hard on Lauren.
Out of it. Yeah.
Don't talk about Lauren.
Like, no shame to Lauren. It's just like, I would not want anyone. I would not want my commenting on my body on national television.
Well, she like praises her son. She's so like, I mean, that's, we're talking, I was just being like, God, I love Caroline. But like, also she's deeply problematic as a mom on TV. Cause she lathers her sons with like physical praise and like, and there, I'm like, Lauren's like doing something at least.
And then when it comes to Lauren, she just goes, Lauren's a manzo. Manzos are thick. I was like,
so mean. I thought Lauren looked great. Leave
Kathy
her be.
Kathy arrives with a huge gift basket. I was like, okay, Kathy.
Yeah.
We get
Victoria it. Wakili dances like a middle-aged white woman at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. She is kind of like eternally 35. She's like, yeah. She's like 42 and she's just like really like gotten some great therapy and worked through like all her divorce trauma. And she's just like letting loose.
Some older guy comes over and tries to like hit on Victoria and Rich gets wind of it. And him and Gorga like pounce on the guy.
Joey Gorga goes, take a walk.
Take a walk, man. Who was that creep?
I don't know. I'm like, where would it, like, how would a, just like a rando hitting on teenagers get into this joint? If it's such an exclusive space.
Yeah.
Was it Chris D'Elia?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
It was peak. 2011, he was really starting to peak back then.
Fuck him.
I know.
Garbage.
I thought he already was over. I didn't realize his career was like going so swimmingly.
No, people like Chris D'Elia and Joe Rogan have these like podcasts, cult followings. And Joe Rogan's like saying like heinous shit in his podcast. And like, they're both like, I hate both of them. Chris D'Elia was like, okay, we're not even, I mean. Look it up.
We won't get into it. We won't get into it. Maybe we'll save it for the bonus.
Yeah.
Melissa suggests trying to go back to Punta Cana with all the family like they used to do back in the day. And Tree almost like short circuits.
I wrote, Punta Cana is the place of dreams for these people.
They fucking love it there.
They love an all-inclusive.
An all-inclusive chance to like roast like lobsters in the sun.
No.
Tree can't handle it. She's like, be around Rich, Richie.
Be around Rich. I'll be around Rich. And he's disgusting. And Melissa's like, oh, he's just kidding. And then at one point, Tree goes, she puts bad taste in my blood. About Kathy.
She puts bad taste in my blood. Like, come on, Tree.
Get it right.
Get it right. That's a little ESL action for you. She puts bad taste in my blood. Okay. All right.
All right. I just wrote Pomodoro the tomato just at one point when the ball drops. Instead of the ball dropping, it's Pomodoro. Drops of the brownstone at midnight.
Hey, happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year.
Ciao,
to all
2011.
Of you. And then Gia chases him out with a broom.
Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
Oh, Pomodoro, you be at home.
Pomodoro, you start drama wherever you go. Get out of here. Pomodoro splats on everyone and just like covers them in like blood tomato sauce.
Oh, Pomodoro. And then everyone cheers. And it's 2011. Jesus.
When Albie and Chris like cheers and they go, 2011, baby. I was like, gee, what year is it even? How are we still alive? 2011 feels like another lifetime. Like, I feel like I have died and reincarnated and lived a million years in between 2011 and now.
No one at the Brownstone knew about COVID.
COVID was not even a possibility on New Year's Eve at the Brownstone 2011.
But Pomodoro went, hey, in 9 years, there's going to be something. And he runs out.
Enjoy now, because in 9 years, a big Pomodoro is coming your way. Sheena laughs. And rolls out the door.
Oh,
you better watch out, because 2020 is going to be a spicy meatball.
And then he rolls down the turnpike. Rolls into the Hudson River, sinks to the bottom because at this point he's frozen solid. Rolls on the floor of the Hudson River, and comes up at Christopher Street Piers, rolls down the West Side Highway.
Into the Atlantic Ocean and then swims all the way to Italy.
He rolls back to Italy and it takes him like 5 years, mm-hmm. but he gets there.
Just the one Pomodoro.
He comes back to Santa Punciano or wherever they're from in Italy, and he rolls up the hill and they all start cheering.
All the Giudice, like the families from the old country, are waiting and cheering on the side of the road. It's like the Olympics, like he's running with a torch.
Yeah.
And then he runs and runs and they go, get in the pot, Pomodoro, get in the pot. And then he runs up
this
the hill.
This is my time.
Into the lady's house that was making that pasta that Jacqueline and Caroline ate, and he rolls up and goes into a boiling pot of tomato sauce, and the whole Pomodoro journey is complete.
Ugh.
But also that means the COVID legacy was locked and loaded because he created the COVID
prophecy.
COVID curse. Yeah, the COVID prophecy was fulfilled.
Oh my God.
By the man himself. Caroline goes, we stand in the same spot on New Year's Eve, looking over the room.
I always stand right here to look over the room and all the faces of the people. We love big, we fight big, and we make up big.
She's a manzo. Manzos are thick. My father was 400 pounds.
Oh my God.
Caroline's like, corner. Why would you say that? Shut up, Mom. Please.
Well.
I kind of blacked out at the end of this episode. I was like, okay, we get it. It's New Year's Eve. Yeah.
I think that was it. I think it's now they're going to go to Punta Cana, I think.
And then, but it ends with Richie being like, fucking Teresa, New Year's same assholes. He hates Tree, and Tree hates him.
Oh, they hate each other, because he has Tree's number.
Yeah, which is the perfect recipe for a Punta Cana disaster.
And with that?
And that's 2011 for you. Did your life get better or worse since then? Think long and hard about it.
Better and worse.
Yeah, both. All of the above. Follow Carrie on Insta and Twitter at Icaro.
Follow Lars Marie at Lars Marie. And okay, so I just wanted to shout out the, I think right now is a good time to be reading up Elijah McClain, who was a black man in Aurora, Colorado, who died last year. He was 23 years old. He was beaten by three police officers and pronounced brain dead a week later. And the men have never been, they weren't even, I think one of them was put on leave, but they weren't arrested or charged or anything. And it's gone like untouched the case. And I think now there's pressure to reopen it. So there's a link on my Instagram in the bio for ways to call representatives in the Aurora, Colorado area, including the governor of Colorado. And there's a script that you can follow. And I did it yesterday for like, it takes a minute to do it, but it's really good. And you just call down the list of all the different numbers for the council members, especially in the city. And all the calls go to voicemail because I think they're just getting an influx of calls.
Yeah. I was reading today that they had like tens of thousands of calls so far, which is great.
Yeah. So just read the script. Just leave a voicemail anyway. And just keep plugging like as much as you can. There's a GoFundMe for his mom and their family for funeral costs last year, but people are donating to it still. But yeah, it's just another, I mean, I think there's, can't even imagine how many of these there are, but
no, there's so many
these cases like this, but this, you know, it'd be good to get justice for him because he seemed like a really sweet guy and it was pretty brutal.
Yeah. A true wrongful death and a murder.
But it's up on my Instagram if you want to look and just like, if you have time to just make some calls, it's good. Anyway, I just wanted to shout that out.
Well, thank you for that. And then I have a shout out that's another donation that I donated to because I was just like, this is also in my wheelhouse. But I found out that Tina McDowell from Vanderpump Rules season one, the only other Black person that's ever been like featured on the show as a cast member, was shot on Black Friday. This past Black Friday and has been like recovering from this like accident. And so, she has a GoFundMe that I think is to cover like hospital bills and her recovery journey. And it's like, it's, you know, a few thousand dollars away from reaching its goal. But I donated to that because I was like, Tina was a real one. If we didn't have Tina, we wouldn't have had Sheena because Sheena opened for Tina at the Roxy that one night.
Oh my God, that's horrible. Well, I know. I'll find that link.
Yeah, so I'll share that on social media and in the description. But yeah, if you're a pumphead, a true pumphead, you'll know.
And donate to Tina, help her out right now.
Throw Tina some bones.
Let's do it. But yeah, everyone, please wear a mask. Please. And just keep yourself healthy, keep your loved ones healthy, you know, continue to social distance, whatever you need to do to stay safe and healthy. Let's get through this together.
Amen. Love and light.
Love ya. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.